You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Doing the Work post-game show, as tonight, your number 8-ranked Indiana Hoosiers win for the first time ever over the Maryland Terrapins, 70-63. I'm your host, Jeff Marlowe, here with my co-host, Kathy Amos, and we will break it all down for you on this edition of Doing the Work, the new show on the Back Home Network dedicated to covering the IU women's basketball team. And we'll start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. And Kathy, for me, the banner moment is just the entire victory to get that first win over the Maryland Terrapins, who have been the big kid on the block, kind of the tough kid on the block in the Big Ten. I know one point they showed on the telecast, I think over the last 6 years, Maryland was like 135-16 or something like that in Big Ten play. And, you know, just amazing. Or maybe that was, yeah, over the course of that time. You know, what an amazing victory for that group, and especially to let the game they had. We'll talk a little bit more about this. I don't want to get too much, but a game that they kind of let get away at the end of regulation. They found a way to dig in the overtime and come away with that huge and kind of, I know it may have some debate here, but one of probably the three biggest wins in IU women's history. The WNIT and the game against NC State, I think, have to be in there for the discussion, but this is definitely one of them. So that's my banner moment for tonight.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree with that. The whole thing was finished. Yeah, I wrote down, I think Maryland was 130-15 in Big Ten play since they've joined the Big Ten. So this was a huge victory. Absolutely.
Yes. And our banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their fifth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their first as presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. In case you missed it, Home Field recently did a brand refresh of their IU collection, bringing their extensive IU collection to more than 40 items. They also have vintage apparel for more than 120 colleges and universities across the country. There truly is something for almost everyone at Home Field. All of their comfortable, high-quality shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies. All items will be 15% off with the code HOME, that's H-O-M-E, HOME, for first-time purchases. So go to homefieldapparel.com today and start planning ahead. Once again, the website is homefieldapparel.com, and wear one for the team. Now it's time to move the ball, find the open player, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And so we have the Amos Angle.
All right, great. Thanks, Jeff. All right, so for me, I think what I would like to start off with my opening thoughts is just, again, our defense really showed up again for us today. Maryland was averaging 80 points coming into this game, and we held them to 63 points, and that was in overtime. So I think I heard on the radio feed that I was listening to, because I don't typically listen to the TV announcers, but the radio feed, they tell me that this was the second lowest point score for Maryland. And again, this was an overtime game that we held them. And in fact, this was Maryland's first overtime game ever in Big Ten conference play. So I think this says a lot for our program overall. And it was great for us to see our women defend on the court and defend our home court advantage. And along with that, I think that I just want to give a great shout out to the crowd that was there. The students aren't back, and the fact that they really seemed to pack the hall and really came out and support the women. I loved it from tip to the final buzzer and that overtime score. There were definitely some lulls, and there were definitely some things to work on. But overall, I really just love the defense from our team, and I love the defense really from our crowd and really providing the support to our women. So those are my opening thoughts.
And you mentioned the crowd. The attendance was listed at 5,572 today. And like you said, no students on campus. And so a lot of people packing and getting in there to support the women's team. Really want to, Richie, I want to thank you for pointing out that the hall was rocking today. And you could kind of hear that through the TV feed, that the crowd was into the game. There were some tough calls that went against the Hoosiers at times, and you could hear the crowd. So that was, you know, it was really good to see. For me, it was more, I guess the one meaningful moment I'll come to first is I mentioned in the banner moment, we were up 60-51 with, I got it in my notes here, 60-51 with 3 minutes to go roughly. And Maryland outscores us 10-1 over the last 3 minutes to force an overtime. It would have been really easy for a group that had lost 11 in a row to Maryland to go just kind of hang their head and be like, well, we had it and we let it get away. They didn't. And that goes to the kids and it goes to the coaching staff for getting the focus back at that timeout between the fourth quarter and the overtime. So for me, that's a very meaningful moment.
Yeah, I agree. So do you want to move into meaningful moments next, Jeff? Or
yeah, let's go ahead and go into meaningful moments.
Cool. All right. Okay. So one of the kind of have two meaningful moments that are almost identical from the first quarter. And for me, again, they were moments that highlighted something that really set the tone, I think, for, again, our defense, especially I thought our fast break defense was really good. And I'm sure we'll get into, again, some of the things that weren't pretty were turnovers in this game. We had 19 of them. But twice in the first quarter, once with about 7.5 minutes left in the first quarter and about 3 minutes left in the first quarter, Allie just really, really raced down the court and got back on defense to prevent Maryland from scoring. One was off of a missed shot from Grace, but another one was off of a turnover. And both of those happened in the first quarter. And I thought Allie really from the very beginning of the game really showed some leadership, some poise, and set the tone in terms of defense. And I think then following with that theme with Allie and her defense followed it up in the overtime, because I thought she played Owusu just fantastic in overtime. And you could tell, and to me, at least, I thought Maryland was really trying to use Owusu to come out and get her in a one-on-one situation. And Allie just really didn't let her get much going in that overtime. So I'm sure when we get into the stats, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that. But those were a couple meaningful moments I really enjoyed seeing from our defense, specifically from Allie Patford.
Yeah, and really, as you mentioned earlier, the defense overall played very, very well to limit Maryland to 63. And as they pointed out on the broadcast, IU has not given up more than 70, I believe, to a team this year. And so with that, against a good Maryland team. And I thought that was important for somebody to take on Owusu. I'm never going to say it right. But Owusu. Owusu. And she, you know, because she kind of really, you know, she was the one who really down the stretch and at the end of regulation was really making plays for them. And she almost was just knocking people out of the way. And so somebody just needed to be able to stand up and take on a little bit. And Nikki was trying as well. But, you know, she had a really big size advantage on Nikki. She had a size advantage against all of our guards, actually, but a bigger advantage against Nikki. So Nikki was doing the best she could to hang in there. And thanks, Ari, you know, Owusu. All right. I hope I'm saying that right, but I'll have to keep saying it wrong probably the rest of the show, just being me. But the other thing, one of the other big important storylines for me was just the first quarter as a whole. I thought Grace pointed out, for those of you who haven't had a chance, we did a Grace Berger episode that's up as well now. And one of the things that she pointed out is that Maryland's really known for getting out fast in the first quarter. And that's what they did to IU last year in College Park. I believe it was 23-9 at the end of the first quarter out in College Park last year. So there was a point there where you kind of felt like Maryland was going to maybe make a run in that first quarter, but we just kind of, it got to 15. It was 17-10. And then we got a basket from Keandra Brown and a basket from Grace to finish out that last minute to cut it to 17-14. And I think that was huge because it just kind of, it took away that narrative that Maryland just comes in, beats you up in that first quarter, sprints out and puts you behind. And you sometimes have to get out of your game a little bit and you start playing their game. Well, when it's only 17-14, you can continue with your game plan. You don't have to kind of play Maryland's game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else that you thought? And as we continue to break down the win, we'll point out even more meaningful moments here that you may have missed. And then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight this big win a little bit later as you're listening to the Doing the Work post-game show. Kathy, got anything else that was meaningful to you?
Yeah, in fact, I do. And it leads from what you were saying, how they finished the first quarter, right into, I think, how they came out the second quarter. And with 7:54, so 2 minutes in basically to the second quarter, we had some really fantastic help defense from McKenzie. It led to a turnover by Maryland. We took the ball down to the other end, made a shot, came back. Nikki, again, I know, thank you, Richie, for agreeing that she definitely set the tone as usual with her defense, but she stole the ball again, went back down, taking the ball down for herself and made an end one situation. And it gave us our first lead and sparked a 10-2 run that we had. And it forced Maryland to call a timeout. And to me, I think we got through that quick start for Maryland in the first quarter, really finished strong. And then that sequence of events at that 7:54 mark really set the tone, I think, for the most part, the rest of the game, but especially that second quarter where we would go in at halftime, then up four. So we overcome that 3-point deficit in the first quarter and then won the second quarter by 7 and went in with a 4-point lead at halftime. So I enjoyed that particular sequence myself.
Well, and I'll kind of piggyback off of that. Just the whole first half, if you looked at the way we were playing, we had 8 points from Lexa. We had 8 points from Allie Patberg. 7 points from McKenzie and 5 from Nikki. So you had the scoring wasn't, they couldn't load up. Maryland couldn't load up on one player. Grace was struggling in the first half and she kind of struggled the whole game with her shot, but thought she played pretty well overall. But those other four who got the bulk of the minutes, and we should point out here, another meaningful thing here, we had 3 kids who were out with COVID today, including Chloe McNeil Moore, who is one of our key subs off the bench. So a team that's not very deep generally anyway, basically played with 6 today. And so, but my point back to this, to the meaningful moment here, is that when you're getting that balance, they couldn't load up on Mac. They couldn't load up on Allie. They couldn't load up because everybody was doing it and helping out the process. And I thought that was a huge part of that run that you're talking about through the second quarter.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So overall, I did enjoy too. Then, so we talked about the first and the second quarter. Then after halftime, they really seemed to try to be focusing, getting Mac more involved. And especially in that fourth quarter, they really came out and you could tell they were really targeting McKenzie to get her the ball. And right away out of that fourth quarter, they got the ball, I think, on multiple possessions down to her for some points. And then it led to some turnovers again on the other ends. And at one point, then Allie hits a couple threes, and that fourth quarter started off fairly well, I thought, for us as well.
Yeah, and especially it was 45-45. Going to the fourth quarter, and I'll come back to one here in a second. But we start the fourth quarter, as you mentioned, field goal by Mac, 3-pointer by Allie, field goal by Mac, a field goal by Maryland, and then a field goal by Grace, a field goal by Alexa, and it's now 56-47. So we just jumped out on an 11-2 run to start the quarter. And I'll be honest, I was feeling pretty good about the game even at that moment, but I knew Maryland had the ability to make a run. The other thing I'm going to point out here is how we were able to withstand. As I mentioned, we only had 6 players, but they only had 3 free throws in the first half. And Maryland's usually a team that gets to the line quite a bit, and especially with the way Angel Reese was playing in the first half. They went to the free throw line 12 times alone in the third quarter. And I thought for us to be able to withstand that and still be tied at the end of the third quarter really spoke volumes to what we were doing throughout the rest of the game. You know, when you take the second half in the overtime, they shot 20 free throws and we only shot, make sure I get the numbers. Well, we ended up shooting 21 for the game, but we shot 21 for the game. They shot 20 in the second half and the overtime combined.
Yeah. And in the overtime, especially those 2 free throws they made were the only shots they made.
Yes.
I thought, again, back to our defense, we went the entire overtime period and did not allow Maryland 1 field goal. And it wasn't for Maryland lack of trying or backing off, because they were very aggressive. That's how they got back into the game to tie it up in the fourth quarter. And boy, I think you said it in either our text message or in the chat, they were throwing the whole kitchen sink at us. And it was very key for us to to really withstand that barrage and still get to overtime. And especially, as you mentioned, being down 3 players. And essentially, I mean, we had 2 ladies, Grace and Allie, both played the entire game and the entire overtime. Cardano Hillary only sat out 2 minutes. Lexi only sat out 3 minutes, and McKenzie Home only 4. So we clearly played almost the entire regulation and overtime with our women, our 4-5 starters. And the fact that they were able to withstand Maryland's onslaught there at the end of the game and come out and play such massive defense in the overtime and not allow field goal, to me, was just very impressive. And I love seeing it.
Yeah. And I will point out also here that I marked that down. They shot 52% in the first quarter, or excuse me, the first half. For the entire first half, Maryland shot 52%. For the second half in the overtime, they were 8 for 33, 24%. And that's what I'm sure Terry Morin is going to be very, very pleased with when she looks at the stat sheet after the game and looks at the film tonight and tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. So I think for me, those are the main meaningful moments and things that jumped out to me.
Yeah, there were so many meaningful moments as well. And I'm Jeff Marlowe here, along with my co-host, Kathy Amos. You're listening to Doing the Work podcast. Next, it's time to go inside the numbers. And Kathy, I'll let you go first. We've talked about some of the numbers already, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I think I'm going to look at two we've focused on quite a bit all year, and two numbers that kind of that go together, I think, very well, which is turnovers and then points off of turnovers. So turnovers were not good. The team's goal, I believe, is 11 a game. We had 19. Maryland also had 19. But the points off of the turnover are also about even, where we only allowed Maryland to get 14 points off of those 19 turnovers. So I think that I think for sure that we, again, we're just getting back. Even though we didn't play the cleanest basketball, we're absolutely getting back on our fast break defense. So to me, turnovers, again, way too high for what the team wants, but the defense helps kind of smooth out some of those turnovers, so they didn't hurt quite as bad.
Yeah, and I'll point out one number I'll point out here is rebounding. Maryland is a team that generally out-rebounds their opponents. We were able to out-rebound them 37 to 35. And I apologize to the people who are watching us live on YouTube here. Something up with my camera, but hopefully my audio is still coming through in real time. So I apologize about the video. But to me, that was huge. And when you look at that, McKenzie had 14 and Lexa had 10. You know, so you had two kids in double figures for rebounding. And I just thought that was a huge stat for me.
Yeah, I agree. I had rebounding written down as well. The other thing we've been talking about all year, and you've already touched on it some, is just our bench and points from the bench. We got two from Keandra Brown, and that was really it. And I understand, like, we were down three from our bench to begin with, but only one, which is Chloe Moore McNeil, would really have any meaningful minutes anyway in a game like this. I wouldn't have expected the other two to get any time. And again, just I expected it in this game. So I'm, again, hopeful as we continue down the season, we'll hopefully get our three gals back that were out today. But I hope we can get our starters some rest, because two bench points and really only 9 minutes from our two bench players is really just going to take a toll as we continue on into the January and February timeframe, especially now that we're getting into conference play.
Yeah, and I will say this, that you look at the bench point, 21-2, but 17 of those for Maryland came from Diamond Miller. And that's a girl that started, that's a young woman that started for them last year before an injury earlier this year. So that may change a little bit of their dynamic for them going forward. So, but yeah, you're right, Kathy. We only really played Keandra Brown. She got 7 minutes. The box, I did not see Grace Wagner get in. That's my mistake, but I guess Grace got 2 minutes on the floor. So, but essentially played five people. All five starters, here's an interesting stat. All five starters played 40 or more minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of minutes.
Absolutely is. So then on the flip side, maybe if we switch over to, again, back to our defense, I wanted to point out Owusu from Maryland, who is averages 16 points a game. She was held to 10 points today, and bulk of those points were really in the second half, where you could tell they were really targeting her and trying to get her into more one-on-one situations. I didn't write it down, but maybe do you remember, Jeff, how many she had in the first half? Because I think it was only 2, maybe 4 points total.
Owusu had 2 in the first half.
Yeah. So I thought the defense on her was great going in. Reese got her points. Of course, I think she averages around 18, and she had 22. But Diamond Miller, it was her first game back off of her injury, so wasn't quite sure what to expect for her. Coming off of the bench, I know what she was like last year and expected great things, and she absolutely didn't disappoint. So I guess Welcome back, Diamond Miller, to Big Ten play. So she ended up with 17 points for Maryland. But other than that, and they have, I think, four or five, do all five of their starters average double digits? So to hold only three of them to double digits. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Well, and all five starters had been averaging double figures. Actually, only two of the starters got into double figures today. Diamond Miller coming off the bench was their third double figure score. And that's kind of something I'll point out here as well. You know, Phil makes the comment that they can rest after the NCAA tournament. And I guess there's some truth to that. But I just think there's going to be games down the line where we're going to see some fatigue factors come in. But when you look also, talk about our offense a little bit. We only took 11 three-pointers. I didn't think we fell in love with the three-pointer today. And that probably was a good thing, but I think it also was a game where Maryland knew that, and so they sagged a little bit at times and made it really difficult to get the ball to McKenzie on a consistent basis. There was a stretch there in the third quarter where I thought McKenzie maybe didn't get enough touches, but it just is one of those that this is kind of the fine line with this team. You don't want them just jacking up threes, but you might have needed. I think I tweeted this out. I think I would like to see them maybe shoot three or four more just to stretch the defense.
Yeah, I think that would have made it easier for McKenzie to get the ball because they definitely sagged down on her, making it hard to get the ball to her. And then once they did get it to her, they did. I think they double teamed her quite a bit throughout the game as well. So it was, but still somehow McKenzie managed to get 15 points and 14 rebounds. So another double-double for McKenzie, and that's again with fantastic defense from Maryland.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll point out here, and Grace mentioned this in the podcast with her, that Maryland switches everything, 1 through 5. And I think you saw that at times today where we have our base offense is a lot of penetration. Spread it out, 4 out, 1 in stuff, and then maybe put Mac in some pick and roll. But because they switch everything, it made it really difficult to find some penetration at times. And I thought that really kind of had us in the first half early on really kind of stagnant. I thought we did a better job in the second half of adjusting to that. And I would have liked to maybe seen a little bit where we screen away to try and occupy some defenders a little bit more. But again, you can see that this team wants to get inside. They want, whether it's with Mac or off the drive, they're at their best getting the ball into the lane.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. You're probably laughing at my video.
I am. You're frozen for you right now. So I just want to make sure I'm not talking over to you. So I think other than the other stats, the only other thing I've been watching this team on, we've struggled with a couple of the last games, are just actually making layups. And we finished actually fairly well with that this time, 15 of 20. So that one was a good one for me too. In the couple of the last games, we've been on not quite the good side of making our layups. But anything else for you, Jeff, that you think of on the stats that we haven't touched on?
No, I think we've hit most of the stats. Just, you know, free throws, you know, 15 to 21, we were 71%, but boy, we missed a couple down the stretch in the overtime that were making me nervous.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, where am I at here? Here we go. You're listening to Doing the Work IU Postgame Show. Catch us live immediately following most IU women's basketball games. You can find us at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. We have over 9,000. We're getting close to 10,000 of you fellow IU fans who have subscribed. Join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Jeff Marlowe here with my co-host Kathy Amos. We're breaking down Indiana's big win, the number 8 Hoosiers in one poll, number 6 in the other poll, taking out the Maryland Terrapins and getting to the top of the Big Ten along with Michigan, both teams at 3-0. It's time now for our game balls, and so we'll go around the horn here. And Kathy, let's go to you.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go with Allie Papberg for my game ball today. I thought, as I mentioned in a couple of my meaningful moments, I thought she really set the tone defensively and showed really fantastic leadership throughout this game. Allie finished with a team high of 18 points. She had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, which again, that's not what she's in there for. But I think for me, when we had 19 turnovers, she ended up with no turnovers on this game. And I just really enjoyed watching Allie play. I thought she had a lot of a great motor tonight. She had great leadership. She had a lot of poise. She made some key 3-pointers for us as well, going 2 for 3 on in 3-point lands. Again, when we are not taking a whole lot of threes, it's important that we're going to make a lot of them. And 2 for 3 for me was a really good number for Allie. So for me, I went with Allie.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you as well. I really was struggling on this one. I thought about 3 different players, but I'm going to go with Allie as well. You mentioned pretty much the stats, 18 points. But I think the thing here was in a game where we turned it over 19 times and Maryland had 13 steals, Allie Patberg, 0 turnovers. And for your senior, your veteran senior, as we often point out, our super senior in her 7th year, to show that kind of leadership and take care of the ball in a game like this, I'm going to go with Allie Patberg with my game ball as well.
Awesome.
So that means Mackenzie now has 3 game balls. Nicole has 1, and Allie Patberg gets her first game ball. And now it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award, sponsored by our friends at Evansville Security Services. Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. Remember, prevention cannot be measured. So let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to EvansvilleSecurityServices.com to learn more. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. And we'll go around the horn again for our Hoosier Hustle Award, sponsored by Evansville Security Services. Kathy, you get to go first.
Sure. This one was also equally hard. Again, when you have a game where all your 5 starters really just really produced for you tonight, it was hard for me. I ended up going with Alexa Golbe. For me, I thought she epitomized what we want to see in that Hustle Award. She had 42 minutes. She ended up with 17 points, 10 rebounds, so a double-double for her as well. Only 2 turnovers. Again, when you have 19 as a team, unfortunately, yes, 8 of them came from Nikki, so only 2 for Alexi. And I just thought she did a lot of those small hustle plays that helped the team kind of glue together and keep things going in the right direction. I think she started off a little slow. She got pulled there at the beginning of the first quarter for a couple of minutes, and Counter Brown came in for her. But after she came back in, I thought the rest of that game, she really played lights out for us.
Yeah, we're in the same mindset. I thought about Mackenzie Holmes here. I thought about Nikki. But I'm going to go with Alexa Golbe here, as you mentioned. And for me, it's the little things that when Alexa's playing well, and she was one that Coach Warren called out a couple of weeks ago for not playing a very good game in one of the non-conference games. But when they're playing well as a team, Lex does things that don't always show up on the stat sheet. She's often guarding the other team's best forward, and she is also asked to guard basically 2 through 5. From a shooting guard all the way into a post at times. And I thought to be able to do that today, and she ended up with 4 fouls, but I thought she did a really good job. Again, she had, like you said, a couple turnovers as well, but she had an assist, she had a steal. And I just thought she hit a couple threes, or, you know, she hit 1 3, but she had a couple big shots at times as well. So Alexa Golbe gets my Hoosier Hustle Award here. So that now in 5 games, we have given out 5 different Hoosier Hustle Awards, Kathy. Grace, Matt, yeah. Nicole, Keandra, and now Alexa Golbe all have earned a Hoosier Hustle Award. And I think that's a good thing, for a team like this.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think that just talking about that, five post-game shows and 5 different Real Hustle Awards to 5 different players. I think that just, again, shows the depth of this team and the leadership that we get, depending on the night and the matchups. You know, tonight, we haven't talked a whole lot about her, but Grace was not having the best night tonight. She really was struggling offensively, going 3 for 13 from the floor. She added in some rebounds, but her defense was good and spot on. But she did the things that needed to be done from her tonight on a night where she was struggling offensively. I thought she still showed great leadership and great poise out there. But that's where your Herb teammates picked her up tonight. So Grace, again, didn't have best night, but Alexa really stepped up and had a fantastic night. And I think you've talked about that with Grace, how they're not always going to have the best night or have to rely on one or two people every night to get double digits. And again, this is a night where we saw that, where I think Alexa really stepped up. So I love the fact that this team is so willing to not just have one or two people who are the quote unquote stars of the team, but really they just do what's needed on whatever night. And tonight we needed Alexa to do Alexa things.
Yeah. And I would say this as well, Kathy, about Grace. She never once shied away from doing what she should have been doing on the offensive end. She was still willing to take those shots at the end of quarters. They were trying to basically, I think, set her up for the end of the overtime or the end of the regulation as well. So I agree with you. I think, and one of the things that I've really gotten to enjoy talking with Grace on the podcast is just how even keeled she is about her game. She doesn't get too up. She doesn't get too down. When you listen to her talk about how, players have slumps, and she mentioned the other day how much it's, rather have it early in the season than later in the season. So you're just a good level-headed kid. And I think that goes to all the kids on the team. At least we don't see as many of the kids because we don't go deep, but the five veteran kids who start all seem like they keep themselves pretty well composed.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And even when, Keandra Brown, when she comes in, I love her fire, right? Like she came in, she took three charges today, at least. I know I wrote down in the third quarter, she took a charge there about halfway through the third quarter. And that was her third one of the game. I think that's where she ended up. But, again, those are things that don't show up in the stat sheet, but they all matter. They all matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so, and I apologize, Quang, you guys out there, if you kind of came in late. Yeah, my video is messed up and Kathy's been laughing at me the whole time. But I hope everybody's enjoying the show and will come back, watch us again in the future. And hopefully my video won't be so messed up. Kathy, any other lingering storylines for you?
No, I think in terms of like stats, I have some closing thoughts, but nothing specific about any stats or specific around the game. I think we hit them all.
Yeah, and I know Jim on here wants to know, can the IU men beat the IU women? I'll kind of let that one pass. I'll mention that it was in the chat, Jim, but as bad as the IU men may have played today, I'm going to keep my focus here on the IU women. And my one storyline, I guess my lingering storyline might be here, is how do they come back on Wednesday? Big win over Maryland today. Now they're going to go up to a Wisconsin team that's 3-9, 0-2 in the league if they play. I think Wisconsin has had a game or two canceled this week as well for some COVID issues. But a veteran team like this, I would expect to be able to come back and not have a hangover of, being too up, too elated. But I'm still a little anxious to see how they play Wednesday night up at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I do too. I hope we're not having a hangover game. Is that game at Wisconsin too, isn't it?
Yes, that game is at Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it's on Big Ten Plus. So yeah. I know a lot of our fans don't have Big Ten Plus, but I've got the time down at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. But you and I are planning on doing a post-game show immediately after the game. So hopefully everybody will join in and watch us from that standpoint. But that's just my only lingering storyline is can they, come out and beat a Wisconsin team that's 3-9, has lost a couple games to teams they probably shouldn't have lost to early in the non-conference season. They're only averaging 61 points a game. And so if IU's defense shows up, I think it'll be hard for Wisconsin to score on this team. But like I said, I know it sounds trivial, but you certainly don't want to have a great win like today and then go up to Wisconsin and find yourself in a dogfight with 2 minutes to go.
Right. Absolutely. Especially, Wisconsin's at the bottom of the league. So
I'm
hoping that we go up there and really handle business. And again, back to our theme we've had in all of our postgame shows, hopefully we get out to a big lead, hold on to it, and let our starters get some rest and get some good experience, because we need that as well for growing our program into the future for the people on the bench. So,
yeah. I totally agree. And hopefully some of those kids who were out with the COVID protocol today will be able to come back and be ready to play by Wednesday. Just want to remind all of our fans who are listening, there is no Thursday AC Radio this coming week, but that's because there's a post-game show Thursday night as the men will be playing Ohio State. So after the Ohio State game, you can join Andy, Jared, Ryan, and Coach for the post-game show on AC, on Assembly Call, and watch it here as well on YouTube. You're listening to the Doing the Work IU Postgame Show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Okay, Kathy, it's time for last call. What's your last call?
Yeah, I think let's just all take a minute to really reflect on this win. It was a historic win, not really just for our program, but really for Big Ten overall. Maryland has come into the Big Ten and has completely dominated the Big Ten. I think I heard they are 130-15 in Big Ten overall play. So they only had 15 losses before tonight in Big Ten total. And we have never beat them. They're 11-0 coming into this game for us. So I think, again, historical for both our program as well as our Big Ten conference overall. And defense, again, won the day. You know, Maryland was 115-7 when they have scored 70 or plus or more. We held them to 63, and again, it took them to overtime, although in overtime they only got 2 free throws. So we held them to their second lowest point score overall, and we put up 70. And the other interesting stat on the flip side of that, Maryland had never lost at all. They're 102-0 in games where they held their opponents to 70 or less. So again, this was a first for Maryland. They had never lost to a team they held to 70 or less. And on top of it, Maryland has never had a Big Ten game ever go to overtime. So I think there were just a lot of things that are historical, both for our program as well as from a conference perspective, for this to show that, you know, hopefully we can get some more teams, a little more disparity with all of our Big Ten teams coming up here, and that IU's one of them as we continue to rise to the top of the league.
Yeah, and I'll jump in on that. There was a lot of great stats there, and I heard that stat on the TV earlier today about they had not played an overtime game since 2013, which tells you they haven't played a lot of close games in let alone in Big Ten play. But they've just been, since Brenda Freese has got there, they have been a very, very good program and kind of a measuring stick for the other teams in the Big Ten. The other thing I will mention here is just kind of the same vein. You talk about seeding for the NCAA tournament. If the Hoosiers do what they're capable of doing the rest of the way and finish in the top of the league, say we win the league or we're second, that win over Maryland may be the difference between a 3 seed and a 2 or a 2 and a 1. And so just because there's not a lot of opportunities in the Big Ten for those type of wins right now, the league is pretty top heavy. Iowa, Indiana, probably the 3 teams at the top. Michigan State can play well on any given day. I forget the girl's name. I'm sure Ari will be able to tell us in the chat, but they just had a girl that scored 50 a week or two ago. Caitlin Clark had 44 in a non-conference game for Evansville today. But there's not the depth to the Big Ten this year. But so if we can take care of business, this win over Maryland could be big when it comes to seeding. Yeah, Cloud, and thank you, Ari. So we're there. Also, want to apologize to those of you who came in late. One of the things we're still trying to work out, Quang, is some of the timelines on this, like especially when we have both the men and the women playing roughly at the same time. And we actually have this issue coming up next week or 2 weeks away. There's a game where they both play, I think, on a Thursday night or something like that. So at roughly the same time. So we're still trying to work out some of the times, but we just appreciate all of you who are coming in and watching us and being a part of the chat mob, and just hope you guys will continue with us as we continue to work out the kinks, such as my video feed tonight and all that. So, but Kathy, you got anything else?
No, I think that's it. I mean, we came out here starting off the year really had a fantastic game meeting Maryland. We got to play them again. We end up Big Ten regular conference on the road up in Maryland. So we'll see how this team continues to grow and play. And we'll be back again at the end of February to see hopefully another victorious episode to report back on then as well.
Yeah, and that could be a very interesting game. For example, if both teams go into that where one needs to win to create a tie or one needs to win to outright, that could be a heck of a ball game out in College Park. So that will do it. If you want to see us do the show live and be a part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall.com. Don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Wednesday night as the Hoosiers travel to Wisconsin. And until then, keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim and go Hoosiers. And this is where we'd play the music if we had any music. Hey, nice job. For some reason, my audio is working fine, but
yeah, you sound
my
great.
My video's freezing. So I apologize to the chat mob out there and stuff. So, and thanks, Phil, and all of you guys who are out there making comments, and glad you guys were here. Spread the word. We're trying to build little by little, and the best way to build it's word of mouth. So
thanks, Phil.
Yeah, I think I made the mistake. What started mine was I typed something in the chat, and all of a sudden, when I started freezing, I got to remember that don't type anything in the chat while I'm hosting. Yeah.
That's weird. So. Yeah, I mean, I can't host, so I at least the StreamYard that we have, so I don't have that pleasure of knowing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It just for some reason I thought when I got out of it earlier and got back in and it seemed to be fine, but like I said, after I typed that comment, it kind of locked up on me and never could quite get it back. So,
Cool. So back at it Wednesday. Yeah, that's a. It's a not a bad time, 6:30 for us, 6:30 Central Time. So that'd be good.
Yeah, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And again, like Ari pointed out and I mentioned as well, the COVID has kind of gotten to Wisconsin. They've missed a couple games, so it'll be interesting to see if that game gets played. But I hope it does. I like one thing we didn't talk about. I don't think you mentioned either. This is 6 in a row for the women. Now this is win That's number right. 6 in a row, and so they're on a nice roll, and I'd like to be able to see them keep some continuity playing so they don't lose that.
Yeah, I think so too. We had the two games canceled in there. We had that win against Southern Illinois squished in the middle there on the 23rd. That was a really fantastic game. They looked good in that game too. Yeah, so I'm super excited about them. They're looking really good. And you know, Jeff, as bad as your video is, don't feel bad because it's never going to be as bad as Big Ten Plus.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've got to keep working at it. There's seems like I had a good one the other day. Like when I did the Zoom one with Grace, I had no issues whatsoever. And the last one you and I did, I don't think I had any, or maybe one minor issue. So I don't know. I just got to. As we keep doing this and I get better at knowing exactly what I did each previous time, because, you know, it just seemed like this one just locked up on me and whatever. But so, but we want to thank everybody, you know, out there, like we said, Ari, especially, you know, and you know, heck, our numbers, you know, we had over 30 people in the chat mob, or at least who were watching, you know, I should say chat mob, but so we get it loaded up and people can listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And then they won't have to worry about my video.
All those supporting us. Exactly. They've been supporting us. And yeah, we're not professional podcasters, Jeff and I. So we're still working on our flow and trying to figure things out. So appreciate your patience. And if you do have any feedback for things we can do better, I'm very happy to hear it as well. But really do appreciate everyone that's been supportive of us, especially from the beginning, and really helping us to get the word out there too. So thanks, everyone.
Yeah, I totally wholeheartedly agree with that. And just like I said, we're doing our best. And if you've got anything you'd like to recommend, don't forget you can go to our community page at assemblycall.com and always leave us a message or put a post in there and say, hey, you know, try this. But we're just, you know, Jim, before we sign off, we did mention this earlier, but the attendance was just under 6,000, 5,572 is the attendance today at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So, you know, without students on campus, that was probably a pretty good number.
Yeah, that's that has to be probably right up there with what NC State was. I think NC State was in that mid 5,000, and that was with students on campus. So,
I think great.
A couple of tweets too that, you know, the Hoosier Ticket Project had some ladies coming in. There was an 8-year-old who is 5'3" from Ohio that was in attendance that evidently loves Mackenzie Holmes and was able to get tickets, and her parents drove her 3 hours over to come to her first game tonight. So hopefully Coach Morin can start talking to her if she's 5'3" already at 8 years old. Keep an eye on her. So that was great.
I think Ari pointed out earlier, this was the third game that we've been over 5,000. So
yeah,
Ari's pointing that out now here in the chat. So the third time over 5,000 this year. And I think as the students get back on campus and the word spreads about this team, you're going to see some bigger crowds for these young women. That also, there was one thing today, and for anybody, Richie or somebody, if you were there, they had a thing that they were, I won't say advertising, but they were doing like a teddy bear toss, mm-hmm. where if you brought a teddy bear to the game, you got a $5 ticket, and then you could toss the bear like onto the floor, and then the bears were going to be donated to the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that.
A neat idea for them.
So I know the Assembly Call guys are doing their meetup on, February 5th, right, for the Illinois game. The women have a game this February 6th that I'm planning on going to, too. Jeff, do you think you'll be able to stay for that one, too? That's the Purdue game. That might be fun.
I don't know. I'm hoping to come down for the 5th, but I also, that's sectional weekend here for the girls and doing local radio. I could be on the air. Unfortunately, so if I do, I might try and see if I can make it down for the women's game and watch the Purdue game. I know they're at Purdue, I believe, in a couple of weeks on a Sunday. Or Sunday. I may try and go down there and watch them because that's only about an hour drive for me to go to West Lafayette here from Rensselaer. So,
that's the 16th.
Yeah,
it's when they're in Lafayette. Yeah,
and if luckily Martin Luther King Day is a what we call flex day, meaning if we have any snow days to make up, we'll use that as a makeup day. But if we haven't missed any days, then I'll have that day off. So going to Purdue and then possibly being able to sleep in the next morning would definitely be a plus, but we'll just have to wait and see. So Kathy, I hope you had a great New Year's.
I did. We did. We had some friends over and played some games and watched football, and it was a good night.
Good. I like the picture with the light fixture.
Yes. Which is fun here, because I'm really the only one. I have one friend who's a Michigan fan too, so she wasn't real happy with that football game. So we turned that off early, and we're like, I think you've had enough. We're into this.
So, all right. Yeah, hey, I assume you have to work tomorrow. I still have a couple days off before we start second semester on Wednesday. So.
Yep, I'm back at it. I've been off since the 22nd was the last time I worked. So I guess I'll have to remember to set my alarm tomorrow again.
All right. Hey, have a good one. I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Sounds great, Jeff. Take care. Thanks, Chat Mob.
We'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.